You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, we were talking about Kevin Keatsman, who is a sports talk host in Kansas City, who brought up, I'm talking about the players the Kansas City Chiefs bring in, some questionable character guys, and some of them have come back to bite them. Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt. I don't know about Kareem Hunt before. I hadn't heard anything with Kareem Hunt before. Tyreek Hill, I did not have a draftable grade because I didn't figure there was any way he'd get drafted based on the stuff I knew. Frank Clark is a questionable character guy, and they just got done trading a lot for him. But he's very good. And it appears as though, I'm just giving you all this for background. It appears as though the Kansas City Chiefs, Marcus Peters, they will take chances on character because they feel like they can manage and fix these guys, right? We can get him where he needs to be. And the sports talk host is making a point that Andy Reid, who, let's just be real about this, is really in charge of the personnel, can't fix guys. You can't fix guys. I think all that's fair when you're talking about what's going on. But then he said he really can't fix guys. He couldn't even fix his own son. He can't fix his son died of an overdose in drugs, and he's got another problem with another son, right? Gun charges, drug charges.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So
Britt.
So Troy asked me this question, and I think this is a fair question. He asked me this question from a consistency standpoint. He said, consistency question, while I don't agree with the commentary, how is it different than people who comment on players' personal lives that do not violate the law? And I think that's a fair question. But my answer to him was this. I think it's a fair question. I think dead children just feel like an area you don't have to broach to make your football point. His point was easy to make with football alone. A lot of people can't fix their children with drug issues. To tie that into a willingness to bring in poor character guys seems like a little much, in my opinion. He said, I think this is why he brings in those guys. He could be trying to give the help he or others did not or could not give their own kids. I would say Tiger's situation was similar. Sadly, he is not the first man to cheat on his wife with multiple women and the wife go off, but the nation lost their minds. But my point is, I could talk about Tyreek Hill. I could talk about Marcus Peters. I could talk about all these guys. And saying Andy Reid, you haven't fixed any of these guys. At no point do I find it remotely necessary to bring in the death of a child, to the death of a family member, make my football point.
I don't know his last name. I can't pronounce it. I guess if Kevin
Keatsman
brought in a licensed psychologist and asked him questions about why does Andy Reid continue to give guys who have, let's say, issues, chances on his roster. And if the licensed psychologist thought to himself, well, maybe it's because of his own personal issues, his personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because Kevin Keatsman is simply a radio sports talk personality? He doesn't have any basis to make a comparison.
But what you just said, though, is different from what he's saying.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Well,
yeah.
What you just said is
actually looking at it clinically as opposed to him just going, well, look, he can't fix guys. He can't fix his own family.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you hear the whole thing, he didn't ask it clinically.
It's a poor choice of wording, and maybe even he just didn't. That what I said didn't even cross his mind.
Yeah, I don't think he thought of it.
But what you said is totally different than what he said.
What you said is actually an interesting...
It is interesting.
And it's what Troy said. It's an interesting thought, like, does that play into... I think that's fair because that's what psychology...
Why he's trying to bring in troubled guys.
That's what psychotherapy and psychology is. A lot of times it's about trying to fix what you couldn't fix or trying to fix what can't be fixed through other times or means in your life, another situation in your life that caused this behavior to become exacerbated. I think that's a very interesting topic and question.
And
if he would have asked it in such a way, I don't think it would have been. But his point was to say, hey, this guy can't fix people. He couldn't fix his own kids. He can't fix this.
Right.
I don't think it was brought up the way you're bringing it up, Dale.
Yeah. Who was the golfer? He lost his wife. She got hit by a cab when they were in the airport.
I do not remember that.
Yeah.
Got hit by a cab?
His
and
wife
killed?
Did, yeah. And in the airport, and and he played poorly. And you can say, this certainly has led to him, you know, his demise on the golf course.
Stuart
and that
Appleby.
Stuart Appleby. Stuart Appleby. And, you know, he had a rough go of it after that. And you can certainly use that as an explanation of why, you know, this guy is struggling. He's struggling in his personal life. He's trying, you know, struggling to deal, to cope with this. And it obviously is translating on the golf course. You can understand that. But to blame Andy Reid not having players who have discipline issues and saying, well, he can't fix anybody. Look at his own kids. I mean, that's terrible. This guy needs to be disciplined by, if not by his own station because he owns it, then by the Chiefs.
And it's a weird thought because the guys he's bringing in are grown men. Now, they're young when they come in, but they're grown men. Andy Reid's is around for their formative years. He's not even a college coach, where college coaches are looked at sometimes as the father figure. These are grown men. It's a sport you're paid pretty well at to win. I don't know if Andy Reid's purpose is to fix people. Well, he may take that on because of his personal life, but Andy Reid's purpose isn't to fix players. It's to win games. Now, you can question why he continues to bring in players when it appears to always turn poorly, but that's not his job, to fix NFL players.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not his job to fix them. You know what? They're grown men.
Yeah.
They need to take care of their own business.
It's a weird thing to even make the
yeah,
leap.
Yeah, right.
It's not that we can
well,
talk.
I will say this, though. Don't the Patriots fix guys?
For
how many times have got troubled
fixed,
guys gone to New England and straightened themselves out?
I'm trying to think of.
Okay, were they straightened out or do they just mind their. Like,
right.
They've had a very strong locker room, right?
Right.
I think.
But isn't that. I mean.
I don't know that they fix guys. Now, I will say I didn't hear anything else about Corey Dillon after he was there. Of course, he was also out of the league after that, I think.
But
Randy Moss finally had a blow up with Bill O'Brien, and he was gone. I think Moss was always Moss. I don't think he ever changed. He just caught touchdowns with them. Who are the other guys?
Well, he really didn't have any issues.
They get rid of him. When there are issues, though,
yeah.
Randy had a huge explosion on the sideline, and they immediately traded him.
Who they've had other troubled guys go in there.
You know, I'm trying to think
they didn't fix their biggest issue.
What's that?
They didn't fix Aaron Hernandez.
No.
You don't fix guys.
No, I don't
if
think.
If they got problems, they're going to have problems.
I think, well, that's why they, and that's why in football circles, you always, the question is always about when you look at guys who have had issues, you say, is it a maturity issue or is he a turd? That's, I really can't state it any more simply than that. Is a guy a low character turd or does he have maturity issues? Because maturity issues are a thing. Guys who, as they get older, as they get, you know, Dwayne Brown, when he came in, was very immature. He would drink, he would party. They're in season, he would come in. You know, this is coming from Dwayne Brown would tell this story. And then he got with Wade Smith. They put Wade Smith next to him at left guard, and that changed everything. Like Eric Winston once told me, Wade Smith was this mentor to Dwayne Brown, and Dwayne completely caught his snap once he got next to that veteran. And he went from being immature to an all-pro player and one of the best tackles in all of football because he was immature at the time. There's a big difference between being immature and maybe being a bad guy. Like, you know, LSU thought Sam Montgomery was not a good guy. Was kind of a bad, and the Texans drafted him anyway, and he didn't even make it to.
Montgomery. They were told that he's not.
Yeah.
He's not a 3-4 player. They were told that.
That's a football thing.
That's a football.
Forget
thing.
The character thing. Other people said when the Texans drafted him, I was getting texts. He's a psycho. How in the world do the Texans know that?
You know where last I saw him? Mm-mm. Trying out for the XFL.
Oh, really?
He was on June 8th. He was there trying out.
How was that? Were you there?
I was there.
Did you see anybody? Like, what was it like? Didn't even talk about it.
Yeah. No, it was, you know, there were a few guys that stood out.
When we come back, I want to hear just a little bit about it because I'm always curious about
it was like a you know, they ran the 40s, and we can talk about it on the other side. But right now, let's talk about Constellation Field. Beautiful ballpark. And the Skeeters are home, and they're ready for you to get on out there. They're ready for you to see the future of baseball. They got a partnership with Major League Baseball. They're going to test out new rules, no defensive shifts or mound visits, quicker inning transitions. They're even phasing in radar-determined balls and strikes. That would be awesome. So this is what they're doing, and you can see it up close and personal. And tonight, enjoy another Silver Skeeters Tuesday, Constellation Field, featuring free admission for Silver Skeeters members. And tomorrow, take it on High Point. Cheer on your Skeeters while enjoying dollar hot dogs and discounted White Claw hard seltzer. Also on Thursday, enjoy a day game and $2 beers and sodas in honor of Thirsty Thursday. All going on at Constellation Field this week. And then there's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They've got it going on. If you're looking for a great way to entertain clients, different groups like churches, organizations, little league teams, schools, birthday parties, whatever it is, they got gourmet food, buffet, party suites, much more. SugarlandSkeeters.com. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, here at 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us. If you're looking for something to talk about, you're more than welcome. Lance asked about...
What was the XFL tryout?
XFL tryout was a lot of 40-yard dash, a lot of cone drills, a lot of...
Just athletic
drills,
testing.
Yeah, drills. I mean, the linemen you couldn't see, you couldn't tell... a lot of stuff.
Did it feel like a real tryout or just something that was...
Yeah, no, they just wanted to see about probably what kind of shape guys were in, you know, how athletic. I mean, there were names there. Taylor Cornelius was there throwing from Oklahoma State. Tanner Mangum, he looked pretty good.
Somebody told me Taylor Cornelius had... they were like, he has the confidence of a wet rag.
Really?
When you watch him on the field, he's just got this low energy demeanor. And I was told to me at the Senior Bowl, like, because when you see him, like, there's some things that I kind of like
a
little
big
bit.
Big arm.
But somebody told me, don't even write him up. It's a waste of your time. He won't get drafted, won't be in anyone's camp. I'm like, he's got good size and a pretty good arm. And
but he's kind of wild.
Yeah.
He throws it, man. He's got
a whip. He must not be in a camp somewhere.
No. He threw the prettiest ball. A go route into the back of the end zone, hit him perfectly, but then he'll sail one like 10 yards over the head.
Right.
And, yeah. So he was, you know, and he didn't have much touch. Tanner Mangum looked really good. You know who looked really good was
Tanner Mangum's not bad.
No, he's pretty good. Brandon Silvers from Troy.
Yep. I wrote him last year.
He actually looked the best of all the quarterbacks. He looked pretty good. There was a receiver from a small school, a D2 school, that number three, he looked...
Yeah, I know number three.
No, you don't know. He looked really, really good. but there were some, you know, guys that you recognize their name. Like I said, Sam Montgomery was there. There were some other guys that you would have recognized.
See, I'd probably recognize a lot more because some of them were probably the rascals I wrote up. That's why I'm always interested by that. You know, I'll never forget, we had this thing when I was at Tulane. We were just getting our basketball team back because they had been eliminated because of a point-shaving scandal. For 5 or 6 years, there was no basketball team because they were involved in point-shaving with Hot Rod Williams. And so when I was a freshman there, we didn't have any basketball, but me and all we did was go play basketball. Like, me and my buddies who were from Mississippi, one guy, Stan, used to play against
you know, Chris Jackson, Abdul Rauf, then Chris Jackson. He was from Clinton, Mississippi. So he would tell stories about when he'd start to tick as the time was running down in the quarter. He just said all of a sudden his head and his – like he said it made you nervous on defense. He's just like – and he said you knew he was about to go off. My buddy Teo played on the south side of Chicago. Ron was up in Washington. The D.C. area played at Dunbar. So we had this really good unit. We used to go play. I mean, I would not always go to class. They would – well, me and Teo, most of them would go to class and, you know, get good grades and go to school. Mm-hmm. We didn't. But so we had a pretty good team. We had pretty good games. We played against the basketball – the football players who were pretty good players and – we'd go run the gym and have a good time and do that. So then basketball, after my freshman year, they start bringing in the basketball players. And one of them was from Michael Christian was from Georgia Tech because he was coming over with Perry Clark, who was going to be the head coach. And G.J. Hunter, who I met, Greg Gary, who's now the head coach at Link Centenary. He was on the Purdue team this year that was in the Final Four. Greg was an assistant coach there. And Greg's the one who taught me how to, ironically enough, how to read the racing form.
Mm-hmm.
As we used to go to the horse track when he got back and Tulane was trying to get out of their point shaving thing. We were at the track.
Beating the horses.
Playing horses.
Did any horses die while you were there?
No, but we were. I just thought it was interesting, ironic that here we are at the horse track. I'm like, I don't think that NCAA wants to know you're at a horse track. But anyway, so there was like 9 guys. So I was the 10th, and so I would get a play, you know, to make it 10 during the summer because I lived in New Orleans. So then I had 9 players. And so I got to know those guys. Carlin Hartman was in the first class. And I became good friends with Carlin Hartman. You know, Carlin. So anyway, they had spots for like a couple more. And they said, we're going to have open tryouts for all of Tulane for walk-on spots. Open tryouts. And Perry Clark brought pizzas out there. And we're all like, this is our big chance. You know, we got a good crew over here. One, maybe two of us can end up walking on the basketball team. And we're all hyped up. And so it's open tryouts. Like, this is a real thing, guys. You know, and they had some scrimmages back and forth. How'd you do? I didn't shoot well, but I handled it well. I defended, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking, eating pizza out there. And then one of the assistant coaches, Todd Bozeman. And Dale, you'll probably recognize Todd Bozeman's name. He's a little bit of a squirrel in college basketball circles. He actually was moving high up, but I think he had some recruiting issues from time to time. So Bozeman goes, if Stan was the best player of all of us, he's like, we were talking to Bozeman. He goes, if Stan can beat me, he goes, we'll put him on a team. One-on-one, like, okay. So Stan plays him. And, I mean, Bozeman's doing everything. Foul, I mean, just dirty as hell. Stan beats him. He's like, he basically dropped the first FOH in history right there and said, he goes, I wasn't being for real, and just walked off. We're like, what? Are you telling me that this? And then the one guy who got a walk-on spot, his dad ran a sports agency and wrote like a check for about $200,000 to the university. All of a sudden, his name's on a building or something, and this kid got to walk on the team. We're like, I get the feeling that that the pizza and these tryouts weren't a real thing. Mm-mm. This feels like just a big, giant PR scheme to me. Nobody we even know is a walk-on. We know who the best players are here in the whole. Nobody was a walk-on that didn't have a dad that wrote a giant check.
And yet these people are in trouble for getting their kids into schools by writing checks.
Okay. Well, this guy wrote a check onto the basketball team.
Right.
And we were all pissed. Like, that guy doesn't even come out and play against us.
I don't know if you saw the first one in that.
He got 6 days.
He got prison. One day.
Oh, yeah, one day.
One day. He got one day because
Singer's going to get the big one.
Yeah, hopefully. Rat. 827 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. You know what? Ask me. Longhorn Keith, we got you on the other side. When we come back, you'll be first up here. What? Who was it? Jordan asked me yesterday. He goes, hey, after the golf tournament, did you take your Thrive? I said, did you take your Cheers? I said, yeah. What do you think?
What do you think?
What do you think? Okay. I was having libations.
Excuse me, sir.
Coors
Did you
Light
take your Thrive?
All day. And when I got home, I took my three Cheers pills. And guess what? I was at work the next day feeling good. You know why? Because that's what happens when you take your Cheers tablets. CheersHealth.com. CheersHealth.com. It's a locally owned and operated company. So if you go to their website today by 3 o'clock, you will have your pills, your Cheers Health pills in your possession tomorrow. So you planning a big event? Well, guess what? Make sure that you're going to feel better the next day. They guarantee it. If you don't feel 50% better, they'll give you your money back. Here's the deal. You will feel better. These guys know what they're doing. When you drink alcohol, it does something to your liver. And listen, I can't explain it. These guys are smart. I'm not. I don't know what it does. All I know is I feel better the next day, and you will too. CheersHealth.com. That's CheersHealth.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:32 on ESPN 97.5.
I'm going to Riel and getting those Butterburgers tonight.
So am I.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Good. I got the golf has been postponed because of the stupid rain.
Nice.
So,
if you guys
5:30 to 7?
5 to 6:30 is the happy hour.
Oh, 5
hour.
To 6.
But it's going to be, let's be real.
It's gonna be, yeah, it's going to be up to
It's going to be whatever. So, we're going to be there if you want to. It's unofficial, but we're going to. They got those new butter burgers. Man, I had one. I went to dinner the other night. I had one. Holy crap. Was it? It's got butter on it. It's pretty good.
Oh,
it's just
that.
In. I guess it's a big deal
you
at a place called Culver's.
We had
you ever heard of Culver's in Wisconsin?
No, but we had Cal's in Chicago growing up, and they put butter on the burgers, mm-hmm. and it was delicious.
It's unbelievable. I'd never heard of this thing.
Yeah.
And so we're doing old granddad shots. So if you want to come on, then come on. Come on. Yeah. You might see your boys over there. You absolutely will see your boys.
Yeah. Any listeners that want to come, Riel, it's 1927 Fairview.
Yep.
1927.
Their happy hour starts at 5, so we're going to be there getting burgers, and they've got drink. Their cocktail menu is all inspired. It's got all like Houston, it's all Houston rap songs, and they got a cocktail menu based on that. I don't know. They probably have prices. I don't even know, honestly. I mean, they don't have happy hour prices, but we got to do the old granddad shot. So there was by the way, LeShane texted us. There's a listener of our show in Dubai, and he was in town from Dubai for the week, and he's like, I heard John and Lance talking about these shots. He goes, so I want to do one with the chef.
So
LeShane had to come out there and do the shot with the...
That's what he had to do.
Yeah, with the listener.
All right, let's get Longhorn Keith in here on ESPN 97.5. Longhorn Keith, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, fellas. Hey, man, I think I'm going to make it over there with you guys.
Come on in, let's go.
Those burgers sounds good.
They're good. They're smallish, though.
Hey, man.
They're happy hour burgers.
Oh, really?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should get two.
No worries. I'll see
five.
You guys over there. Hey, man, quick question. Well, first of all, John, thank you so much for calling out the Rockets for that stupid tweet. You know, when did we become so petty in this city? I've been with you guys, obviously, from the beginning. And, man, I honestly don't remember a time when two professional teams in our city have been so damn unprofessionally ran and, more importantly, just so petty. Like, the Rockets got, I mean, it's pathetic. James Harden had a good season, but let's not get carried away. Give the man his props who won the MVP and move on. Stop being so damn whiny and petty. And the last thing I want to ask you guys, especially Lance, I guess, is so when you talk about this GM from New England or the league talks about this, one of the things that bothers me, am I the only one that's concerned that – when people point out, or the media, or somebody says, hey, this guy's the new up-and-coming, the teams all of a sudden flock to that. Instead, it just becomes lazy journalism, lazy coaching, and more important, lazy evaluation. Is there not anyone else out there that they can say, you know what, let's take a look at this guy? Why is it that everybody in the league going, this is the next guy. It's kind of like those young coaches in, you know, in college football.
It's the same exact thing.
Offensive coordinator, we got to get him.
It's the same exact thing. It's a name gets hot, and then a name gets hot. We see it in politics sometimes. We see it in movies, you know, whatever. But really it happens with people behind the scenes. You'll hear a name, and when a name gets hot, everyone jumps on it and assumes the name is hot for a reason, even when they don't know the guy. There are only a few people, like, I'll say this to you because it'll be of interest to you for the Longhorns. One of the issues that Mac Brown's biggest problems was is he didn't know who the good young coaches were. Like, he didn't know who the up-and-coming coaches were. And so he had a chance to get Paul Chryst, and he screwed that up by telling Paul Chryst that, you know, if you go interview with Pitt for the head coaching job or whatever, then don't even come back here. Texas should be your number one, blah, blah, blah. And this is for a coordinator position. And and so he cut him off, and they brought in Brian Harsin. We know that didn't go well. But the problem behind the scenes was Mac didn't know who the up-and-coming young coaches were, so his staffs were never great. You look at North Carolina right now. He's got old ass staff. He doesn't have young. He doesn't know who the up and coming guys are, and you have to really be deep inside of it and do a lot of networking to know who the up and coming guys are. And I've heard about who some of the up and coming guys are in the league, but the only way you know is if you have an idea of how influential they are inside those buildings, and that's hard to know. That's hard to know. I'll hear about it from other people. But I don't really, that's not something I really usually dig into. I guess if I went and started asking questions, I could find out from other league personnel people who the up and coming guys are. But, and there was a time where I knew who some of them were, but that takes a lot of, like, you got to dig around and find out usually who are the guys who are on the road, who are good road scouts, who have been the personnel guys who have made the biggest difference in their rooms, who are not general managers. That takes a lot of inside knowledge. I'm not sure where that comes from, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know how guys are going to know that other than if they've been out on the road scouting with these guys and they said, man, this guy was really, really sharp.
But don't names. I mean, when head coaches go, this guy's good, and, you know, it's confirmed by other guys that have worked with the guy. Right. This guy's good. This guy's good. When, you know, when there's a lot of smoke around a guy, then it becomes, you know, it becomes
sometimes,
a fire.
But sometimes it's like I was told Raheem Morris. I was told by Ballard, as a matter of fact, when he was a scout, this is going to be the next hot name. Sure enough, like that, he was a head coach in Tampa Bay. He went up to Kansas. I think it was Kansas State. He was a DC, and then into the head coach. And I'm like, and Ballard at that time, before he's the GM, he always knew who the hot names. Like he knew who the hot names were. The guy who was at who's at Virginia Tech now, Dell. Not Manny.
Justin Fuente.
Justin Fuente. He knew he was the hot name when he was at Tulsa or whatever.
Heard that too.
Yeah.
Everybody, you hear that. And you know what? It starts, you know, an underground thing. Justin Fuente.
Listen
too.
To this. But this is back when he was way, it was a long time ago. Yeah. And you'll hear some because of some of the guys you run with. You'll hear some of the names.
I hear
too.
A lot of names.
Yeah. You will hear more than most people do.
I'm hearing a lot now. And you got to watch this for Doug Belk.
Who's that?
He's a co-DC for Dana. I mean, loves
him.
He was at Alabama. He was at Alabama, and Dana loves him.
Is
and
he one of the ones
that
got
a hot name.
Pushed out by Nick, or when was he there?
No, no, he wasn't pushed out.
Well, which it wouldn't matter because a bunch of guys will end up leaving him. But some of those hot, that's how it works. But I was so I'm sitting up there and talking to Ballard at the Senior Bowl 2 years ago, and he's sitting down and he's having about a 15 to 20 minute conversation with a tight ends coach from South Dakota State or an offensive coach of some, so maybe an O-line coach from South Dakota State. And I mean, it's the most important conversation he's ever had because that's how he treats everybody. And we were talking, did you know him? He goes, no, just met him. He introduced himself. So we were talking and I said, man, you spent a lot of time talking with him. He goes, yeah, it's a job interview. He said, I want to know about him. I want to know that guy may be the next great coach. I need to know him. And he said, I talked to him, and he said, everybody I talk to, I'm trying to get a read on them because they might be special.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know him. He goes, I don't care where they came from. I came from Texas A&M Kingsville. He goes,
it's a great way
I don't
to go
care where you come from. I need to know how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does is he talks to everybody so he knows who the special guys potentially are that he wants to – that you know that he would want to bring in, and I think that there's other guys out there who do that a lot, but then you'll just hear hot names. Like I like Elliot Wolf a lot. with Cleveland, you're going to always hear Elliott Wolf's name because you know what? He's Ron Wolf's son, so he's got the pedigree.
Right, but he's also
But you don't hear
good.
Him talk a lot publicly. No, he is good.
He's really good.
But do you ever hear him publicly?
No, no.
You'll never hear him talk
I've talked
much.
To him a few times, and he's...
Even when you talk to him, he doesn't talk a lot.
No, he's a great... He's a great guy, though. He's a great guy.
He's a guy, along with Zoe, that I think, you know, if I'm teams... I would absolutely, you know.
I think Elliott is probably in line more than Zoe.
No, he is.
Yeah,
he is. He's one of those guys, and he's quiet, and he learned the way to be a GM. He's GM-y.
Yeah.
He's with, he's the number one. I think he's probably the number one.
He grew up in the house.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he knows what it looks like, and he'll probably be a name you hear. Like, I would have, I don't think Elliott would have wanted to work with Bill O'Brien unless he's got full autonomy over. So I don't think that was.
I think that was a non-starter. No,
anyway.
No, no. Hey, we haven't even mentioned we're what an hour and 42 minutes in. Congratulations to the U.S. women, Megan Rapinoe. She had a couple of goes. So
congratulations. Rapinoe,
not Rapinoe.
Yeah, it's Rapinoe.
Two penalty kicks.
Two penalty kicks. Right.
Controversial.
The second one was
second
a little
one.
Controversial, no?
Well, if you make contact in the box, you're going to get.
Come on.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
If you make contact in the box, you're going
to
make the call.
They now have VAR to make sure it's right or wrong.
They said, you know, technically, yes, but.
Well, yeah. Then technically, it's a penalty.
Well, I feel bad for those people.
What people?
From Spain.
Why do you feel bad for them?
For the Spanish.
Who cares?
Because they're nice people.
Are they?
Yeah, they took me in.
What do they mean they took you in?
They took me in.
Were you a beggar? What do you mean they took you in?
No, I was a student.
Do you remember this?
Back in the day, I went there for a year.
That?
What? Yeah. Ooh.
I don't care about. I don't care about them. They ain't us. Screw them.
No. Yeah. They're trying to stop our way of life.
They ain't us.
USA. USA.
Well, that's right. I like those people.
Nah, they ain't us, so they lose.
Yeah.
Beat it.
Well,
they hate us because they ain't us.
I just wish we could have won a fair and square instead of.
What do you mean?
We did.
You just cheat him out of it.
We didn't cheat him. We didn't do anything wrong. A call was made and they confirmed the call.
The U.S. are the favorites right now, right?
Yeah. No.
Who's
France,
number two?
Play France.
Is France going to be the tough ones?
They're considered. Well, the U.S. is considered the best team in the world, but they do play France in France in the in their next game, quarterfinal.
Who wins?
That's a tough one.
Easy. I'm still, USA. USA.
I don't know.
It's not easy. I wouldn't say it's easy.
It's easy.
I'm taking the U.S. to break French hearts.
Thank you.
Screw the French.
Yeah. I hate those people.
Yeah,
me too. No, those people I hate.
Me too.
And they're right next door to Spain. It's unbelievable how different they are. What POSs
they
are.
You mean how they speak different languages and all that stuff?
They speak totally different language.
Yeah.
Jerks. 843 ESPN.
And they put a lot of cream and butter in their food.
No. Well, that's okay.
That's not bad.
That's what Paula Deen does.
Let me tell you about...
She does other stuff, too.
Let me tell you about my friends over at TGS Insurance. No more talking. I started. You can't bring up PD anymore. Or PD. TGS Insurance. So you go to TGSinsurance.com. You can find out all about the company, how they do business, what they do, how they aggregate a lot of different insurance companies and agencies. And then from there, they go and just try to find you the very best rates possible. And I know Raheel, for example, saved $1,000 the second time around on his homeowner's insurance. He saved the first time like $200, but he also included flood insurance, which he didn't have previously. I saved $700 the very first time I signed up with them. And here's how easy it is. You text money to 232323. You text money to 232323. They will get, they'll ask for your address. You'll send it. And within seconds, they'll have a firm homeowner's quote. And you can compare that to what you have right now. And if it's not lower, then you're good. If it is lower, then you better look into it because they can get you great coverage at, in most cases, much lower rates. Their average savings for 2019 right now, and I need to get an updated number, but the last one I got about a month ago was $870 is the average savings for people who go with my friends over at TGS Insurance. Text money to 232323. What have you got to lose? TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the boots black to match.
Here we go, I think. Game on the line. Rapino will strike. Rapino scores. 2-1 U.S. Ball played back. Easy play for Don Kemper. That's it. U.S. is going to the quarterfinals. A date with friends on Friday.
Riding on a tractor, lean all in my blood. Cheated on my baby. You can go and ask. My life is a movie.
All right, 850 on ESPN 97.5. AJ yesterday banned this song from the Blitz's show. He hates this song.
Well, is this a Blitz?
No, but it's AJ's station.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was Mr. Gal's station.
Okay. Isn't he the
boss
of the station?
I'm sorry, excuse me, sir.
Is he not the boss of the station?
I'm sorry, sir.
Has Mr. Gal banned the song?
Excuse me, down the hall, there's another office on the other side of the door jam. Yeah.
Excuse me.
All the way down, you can go find Mr. David Gal from Gal Communications.
Well,
not Hoffman Communications.
What do you,
signed?
How do you know
AJ and Ken?
What do you know about? Does Mr. Gal like the song?
Well, funny you ask, because Mr. Gal and I celebrated a birthday. We talked quite a bit. Mm. I asked him about the song. He says, "I enjoy it, Del."
Mm. So wait a minute.
Yeah.
In the course of you two enjoying each other's the same birthday.
Yeah.
You two got to talking about...
No, it wasn't on our birthdays. It's we have a connection, so I can just ask some stuff, questions, unlike other people.
He can because go over there. Excuse me,
we're
Mr.
birthday
Gal.
Buddies.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, excuse me. And he'll stop and say,
hey, Del.
And he'll say, hello. Del. And
well, you see him a lot, too, because he brings a lot of people in to see, you know,
excuse
the show.
Excuse me. Yes, he does do that. Yes, he does.
He does.
So I see him quite a bit. So I don't even have to do the excuse me thing. He goes, hey, Del, you have a question for me today? I was like, actually, yes, I do, Mr. Gal. What do you think of Lil Nas X? He goes, find him very enjoyable.
Huh. I never would have. Huh. I didn't see it. That's why you don't
Lil Nas X.
That's why you don't make assumptions about people. Mm.
That is why I play the song. AJ may have a different perspective, but this isn't his show.
Yeah. Let's play what Danny Ainge's perspective is.
The horse is in the back.
Before we get to that, you know the most, I watched his performance, not live, because why would I do that? But it was on Twitter, and I've never seen so many black people dance to country music. And now it's faux country, because Billy Ray came out. Billy Ray was there. They had a live performance. Billy Ray came out. It was a pretty big deal. Lil Nas X was in black and yellow chaps in his pseudo cowboy suit or whatever. It was entertaining. All the people in that BET crowd loved it. It's the song of the summer. It's been out for quite a bit, but that's the song of the summer.
No question. That dude's going to make a bajillion dollars just off that one song.
Yeah, it's the song he'll be able to perform.
Yeah.
Every concert, time.
Every concert that he plays from now till he dies, he's got to play that song.
Yeah, and the crowd was, I was like, y'all know what this is, right? And they're like, yeah, we do, and we like it.
They don't care. Right?
They don't care. One of you with the phone.
That's me. That one was me.
Cal
I was listening
like
to this Shaq interpretation yesterday.
As Jay Farrell.
Yeah.
The Imitation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was funny.
Yeah, he was funny. He went up there and did his Shaq thing.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
He's always
been
a good
cross.
Jay Farrell was one of those guys. He always was good with the imitations, but he was that classic, like, that Saturday Night Live has always had the one guy or two people who are good with imitations, but they can't really fit them in. Like, Jay Farrell was on Saturday Night Live for, I want to say, 3 or 4 seasons on the cast.
Was he?
And they hardly... Exactly.
See, I didn't know.
Hardly ever used him because he was good with imitations, and eventually they'd have him doing Denzel Washington or they'd doing imitations. You wouldn't even know he was even. I've had him in studio before. He's pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's good with imitation. I mean, that's what he does. That's his strength.
Yeah, no, he was good. AJ says Mr. Gow doesn't like it because he isn't 10. Yeah.
Well, he's a child at heart, AJ.
Yeah.
That's
how do you know
he
isn't youthful? Youthful spirit.
He's definitely a youthful soul.
Yeah.
And I watched I didn't watch BET Awards, but all those people dance in the crowd, they weren't 10 either.
See?
It ain't about.
But there is that video.
Well, AJ's really
but
white.
There
though.
Is that video that I'm sure you've seen.
I've seen it.
With the elementary school where the kids go bananas.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's what's making AJ think that because
So Lil Nas X has found a lane where he can appeal to 10-year-olds and grown ass people, and that's supposed
Not
to be
AJ.
A problem.
Not AJ.
Well, you just told
me. Be for real here on this one.
He's white.
Is there any chance that Lil Nas X has any other hits? There's a chance.
Yeah.
Do you think it will happen? Say no.
In this day and age, I mean, I don't think he'll ever have a song as big as this.
No.
It's just an unlikely thing.
Yeah.
But he might put out something. He put out an EP. I haven't listened to it because I don't care about Lil Nas X, but he put out something on Friday. I'm not hearing people say it sucked, so.
You're working way too hard to convince people you didn't watch the BET Awards.
Yeah.
No. I'm not, because it's Twitter, and you can, like, much like I didn't watch the MVP Awards, but somehow I saw Giannis' speech. Same deal. Yeah. It ain't that hard. True. Who's that? Is that our
AJ?
Very white friend again?
Yeah.
It ain't
No, he's like called the program
Whitey.
Director. We don't call him Whitey. Oh, you do?
Yeah, he just called him white. Really white.
Yeah, he's really white.
It's not that hard to see things without actually seeing the show.
Yeah.
That's how Twitter works now. I don't know if you know
that
this.
That is true. But what was your favorite part of the BET Awards?
I didn't see any of
that part.
You see that? I almost caught him.
All right. Well, let's hear from Danny Ainge on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.
What in the world could he be saying?
He said quite a bit about Kyrie. And we'll get that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, he's got a work suite to get to.
Yeah, so Work Suites is a company that, to me, is an essential part of what you should be considering if you need an office. As someone who tried to work at home, that was a disaster. That's simply not going to happen for me. I don't have the attention span, and B, I just don't have what I need at home. At Work Suites, they have everything that you need. This is a chance for you to rent your own office space, but it's really much more than just an office space. You get your own IT department. You get lightning fast internet connection. You've got FedEx and UPS and mail. They take care of all that right there on the scene. Or right there at the location. You can bring your own office furniture in, or they will furnish it for you. There's packages for anyone, depending on what kind of space you want. You want a micro suite, the smallest that they have that gives you exactly what you need with a work area. You can get that. You can get shared spaces if you only want to come in about, one or two times a week. That's a great option for you. Instead of going to your coffee shop, why don't you go into your own office space? Or if you want to downsize and take your big office into a spot that can house, I don't know, 20 to 50 people, you can find locations like that with Work Suites. The brand new location out in Sugar Land in the Woodlands are amazing, and they have spaces waiting for you right now. Whether you are on the come up or you are downsizing, get your own office spaces through Work Suites, as they have packages available for everyone, and it's incredibly professional and beautiful locations. Make sure that you go to worksuites.com for more information. That's worksuites.com. You can go all the way to 24-month leases or just short-term leases as well. Worksuites.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.